96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
From the very beginning, that's...
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
It's what's caused me to be upset when I first saw that video, and continues to upset me when I see that video, is the fact that he picked the student up and he threw the student across the room. That is not a proper technique and should not be used in law enforcement.
Richland County, South Carolina Sheriff Leon Lott today announcing the firing of Deputy Ben Fields 48 hours after videos show the white deputy violently flipping a black female student over her desk as she sat in the classroom. Well, that's just one of the issues we're talking about at the Reporters Roundtable tonight. My guests are Keith Alexander of the Washington Post and Dr. Avis Jones-DeWeaver, president of the Exceptional Leadership Institute for Women. Lines are open. What do you think? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810 on Twitter. Hashtag Daily Drum. Want to hear from you. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher. Avis, Keith, thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so, and Avis, I'm going to need you to speak up just a tad bit for me. So, first and foremost, let's go back in to the situation in South Carolina.
The student was not allowing the teacher to teach and was not allowing the students to learn. She was very disruptive. She was very disrespectful. And she started this whole incident with her actions.
Well, there you go. Avis, you first. I'm sure you've had about 24 hours or 48 hours to digest all of the things that have transpired since Monday. Your thoughts about this now?
Yeah, so I am extremely disturbed still with how this sheriff is contextualizing that situation. We have to remember that we're hearing his perspective in isolation in terms of what he just said. If you take into context other people's perspectives who were in that classroom, the other students who were in that classroom, she was actually not described as being overtly, greatly disruptive. She seemed to be a very quiet person, didn't really talk to anyone. It seems as if the major infraction that she originally got in trouble for was taking her cell phone out for a few minutes, and after she was asked to give it to the teacher, she refused and she put it back and thought that the situation was resolved. So it's not like she was this huge, loud disruption in the way that he's sort of contextualizing it. And I feel like he's doing that to in some way minimize what happened. And what happened was the fact that she was abused, she was assaulted, and to tell you the truth, just to have this person fired, to me, does nothing to solve the greater problem. He could tomorrow get another job somewhere else, and end up doing this to another child.
Okay, Keith, your thoughts on it.
In jail.
Go ahead, Keith.
Well, you know, it was interesting is that I heard the attorney who was representing this young lady and her family. This officer has a reputation in that school for doing just what he did, which is caught on video, which is why all the classmates whipped out their cameras when he came into the classroom. He has a reputation of doing this with young females, slamming them to the ground. They called him Officer Slam. He even had a nickname. That's also interesting. What I also find interesting is that this young lady is in foster care. She's an orphan. She doesn't have any parents. She just became an orphan. She just went into foster care. So who knows what this young lady is even dealing with there, even in the classroom. Now, not to excuse what the officer did, but this young lady also obviously has some issues. And it seems to me that there's a history between this young lady and the teacher, and probably the history between this young lady and the officer. And I'm sure that's going to come out over the next days and weeks. What's going to be also interesting to see what happens with the Justice Department. They're doing a separate investigation. They're looking into this whole incident.
By request of the sheriff.
The sheriff
certainly,
himself.
They did not decide to intervene on their own. This was made by Sheriff Lott. Let me go to the phone lines. Donna, calling from Northeast D.C. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening, everybody. So as a mother of a 13-year-old daughter, what concerns me the most is teenagers are defiant, and they're going through all these different hormonal changes. And, you know, it just shows that society sees our children as criminals, period. You know, for him to take that type of force and action to remove a child is just, you know, repulsive to me. And for the school system and the teacher to agree with that, what is the recourse for a teenage child who's not following instruction? That cannot possibly be it. And as a parent, if I'm called and I come to discipline with a belt, you call Child Protective Services on me. Mm-hmm. But it's okay for the resource office to slide my child across the floor and aggressively handcuff her. I just don't understand.
Okay. Donna, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. We're talking right now about this incident in South Carolina. 16-year-old a student snatched, body slammed, thrown across the room by a Richland County Sheriff's deputy. He was fired today. James, calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm fine.
A different approach just looking at the situation. We got a situation where here's a young lady in the classroom. Evidently, something happened. The instructor asked her to leave. She wouldn't leave. He called the necessary authorities to have her removed from the class. The guy walks into the room, and he says to the young lady, get your hat and coat and things and go. She evidently ignored him. So he walks over. He puts his hands on her. She bucks off of that. So eventually, granted, it was excessive force, but the whole thing could have been avoided had she had some respect for the authority, first and foremost, the teacher, and secondly, the officer. This starts way back. I understand we're doing all this investigation on her history and her background, but look what it could have been avoided. Now the situation is blown out of check. The officer is fired. This could have been avoided had she just got up and left the classroom. But think about two things. He's the authority in the classroom. She disrespected him. He's the authority in the school. She disrespected him. Unfortunately, she was manhandled like that. This could have all been avoided if she had appreciation and respect for authority. And this is a big issue that's going on.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And that's a good point. But this is a teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
This is a young girl. And young people are defiant, unfortunately. That's just how a lot of young people are. What he did, very excessive. No one's going to even dispute that. Even his boss can't dispute that. But I think we need to be very careful about saying this could all have been avoided had this teenage girl had done X. A lot of teenagers rebel against authority.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see the authority grabbing them, especially a young girl, and slamming them to the ground, especially an officer. If she had a weapon, yes. Mm-hmm. If she fought back, I understand it. But there was no aggression. There was no weapon. He grabbed her and threw her to the ground simply for being defiant.
But see, Avis, you and I were going back and forth on Twitter about this yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I still love you, but I do find it strange that you didn't come in today. No, I'm just kidding.
He said you're scared. Avis,
you're scared of what I was going to say. I think I've had an opportunity to talk to teachers, about this young teachers, veteran teachers, including my mother, who has been, is a retired school principal, has been in D.C. public school system for, nearly 50 years. And she said there were two issues here. She said what that officer did was absolutely inexcusable. It should not have happened. You know, she said it was crazy. She said, he was wrong when he woke up in the morning. That's what she said. But the other issue, and she said that, sometimes children in our school system are off the hook and that is problematic. And like I said yesterday, Avis, I didn't have an answer. But what do you do when a student, a child says, I'm not going to leave, even though you told me to leave. I'm not going to do what you say. And then, the teacher calls the administrator. And then the administrator, calls the resource officer. And where were the counselors? What do you do? How do you handle that situation? And not just this, but, how do you handle a disruptive, rude child, before they call the police?
Okay, so I want to say that I don't want to mix apples and oranges here because I don't see her as being disruptive. She did not follow the command, but she was not disruptive. In fact, I would say that she was quite passive. Okay, she was not saying basically anything to anybody.
I would disagree there, Avis. If the teacher is telling a student to do something
and they don't do
and
it,
they don't do it.
I haven't gotten there yet, guys. So what I was going to say was that anyone who understands brain development in children knows that teenagers have not yet fully formed the portion of their brain that allows them to be able to figure out the logical extent of their actions. They are not biologically prepared to foresee the full extent of their actions yet. We are asking teenagers, who are still children, by the way, to act as adults. Now, as adults in those situations, we should understand that what we are dealing with are children. And in that case, we should then have other methodologies that we can use to convince children to comply with the request. In that specific, very special case where we know this girl was recently orphaned, where she knows she was living in a foster family, pretty new to that foster family, so had very, I'm sure, emotional challenges that were going on with her that very day that this incident happened, I don't for the life of me understand why some adult in that school did not come up with the idea to alert a counselor to come in there, to be able to talk to this obviously distraught child,
but rather than
bring in Mr. RoboCop, who picked her up summarily and literally threw her across the room, injuring her, thereby not only physically hurting her, but mentally hurting her over again.
I've got something to say about that, but I want to go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. James, calling from Maryland. Go right ahead quickly, James.
Yes, we've seen cops do adults the same way.
Yep.
This is a child. This guy, I've seen people charged with domestic violence for what's less or equivalent. This guy should not only be fired, he should be charged accordingly. The teacher in the room should be disciplined accordingly. If he can't handle his class and he has to call in a cop to handle his business like that, he doesn't need to have a class.
Okay, James, thank you. Let me say this right before we go to a break. Yeah, this is. I think that there are all kinds of things that are beginning to trickle out. As Keith said, you know, this was a foster child, you know, recently orphaned. Certainly, those are extenuating circumstances. But Avis, I take issue with what you said about the, you know, young people's development and the like. Yes,
hold on.
But that is true. That's why there's juvenile court. That's why there's two different courts.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, because yesterday on Twitter, I had people saying, well, my mom rocked her class and controlled her class, and she had been, and that's the point.
It's a different day.
So are children developing differently? Perhaps, but certainly somebody when you have parents in the household, you know, we can always say maybe it's old school. You know, somebody needs to put the fear of God in these children so that if you go to the principal's office, the thing that you say to the principal is, don't call my mom, don't call my dad. I'll be on point. I'll be right, you know. But maybe we have some young people in class that aren't afraid of mom, aren't afraid of dad, who don't know mom and dad.
Or have no respect for teachers,
have no respect for counselors, have no respect, you know, for administrators. I'm not even talking about the cop. The cop is, you know, that's a done deal. Right. We know. Anyway, stay with us. We're still talking about this. Vincent, Althea, Evie, we will talk to you after the break. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. Don't hang up, please. You will be able to hear the program. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.